This is the plan. It will be used as natural habitats for the astronauts. They will be using these lava tubes on Moon as a habitat. They will protect them from the radiation or from meteorite impact. And this is the same for Moon and for Mars. So when we think again about humans being living somewhere besides Earth, it is in lava tubes because they are spectacular places.
Hey, Space Watchers, this is Space Cafe Radio, your channel about trends, awesome events, and interesting people in the space sector. For this episode, I traveled to the Terceira island of the Azores in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. This is part one of a mini-series on the Camoesh mission, the Carving Analog Mission, Ocean, Earth, Space, taking place end of November 2023. On the day before the analog astronauts left the cave, I had the pleasure to talk with Dr. Slavka Andrejkovičková, mission control and backup astronaut, about the mission, the goals, and the current takeaways. That was, for me, reporting about the mission the following days, the perfect deep dive into a new world. I'm Torsten, publisher of Spacewatch.global. Lean back and enjoy this unique episode.
Welcome to the Space Cafe. And in this wonderful environment, when I came from Berlin this morning, it was -5 degrees. So here we are sitting in a t-shirt. It's dark outside and still 18 degrees. It's very pleasant. And I heard the weather was the last days not that fortunate for you guys.
You are very lucky because yesterday we had heavy rain, heavy wind. We had a lot of water everywhere, even inside of our mission control camp. And there was a lot of water inside of the cave. So our astronauts had slight troubles to solve the situation. But now everything is okay. It's better. But we didn't expect this much rain in this season. So there was something new for them also.
Tell me, how isolated are they? We have this environment here. We have this wonderful cave, the mission control just outside. Now they're really 7 days totally isolated during this mission, or are they coming out for lunch, going to the restrooms?
They are absolutely isolated 24/7. We do not have any contact with them, only via radios.
Okay.
The only time when we see them is actually on the Zoom outreach meetings, so we do not have right to see them. So they have bathrooms inside of the base camp, and then is the cave. So they have lunch, their activities in the base camp, and they make science inside of the cave. So we really do not see them.
Okay.
So it's isolation.
Okay. And as a backup astronaut, you are aware of everything what they are doing, that in case someone would feel sick or so, you have to jump in.
Yeah, so this is exactly that. So again, if something would happen in the cave, we have radio contact, so they would have to inform me, okay, our astronaut XY is not feeling well and he decided to cancel the mission. So I have my stuff prepared already in the mission control camp, and I am always ready to go there.
Can you tell our audience already what works well?
This is Crew Zero mission. I cannot say from my part because I think that everything is until now going pretty well. If Zero Crew mission is in the needs, we are always available, and I think that we solved every situation until today very well. Maybe the Crew Zero mission will have different opinion about this, but me as mission control, we are really satisfied and surprised and happy.
So you said that you did not meet the crew until you came here. How did you got selected, or how did you apply it for that?
So this idea about making this lunar analog mission came from Rui Moura and Anna Pires, and I know them from my previous conferences because they are somehow both related to the space. And they knew me because I had presentation in Aveiro University, because before me working in Aveiro, now I was working at NASA as a researcher for Curiosity rover mission, and especially for scanning sample analysis on Mars instruments. So I had some experience working at NASA, working with analogs, but Mars analogs. So they approached to me and they asked me, okay, Slavka, we have this idea. What do you think about it? And I thought, of course, I would like to be part of this mission, whatever it takes. But Anna Pires explained to me, okay, we are going to have astronauts inside of the cave and they will be there 24/7. And I told to Anna, I remember, oh my God, I would love to be there, guys. 24/7, but I have simply some medical issues with my back. So I would not be able to sleep inside of the cave in the hard bed. So she advised me if I could be mission control and also backup. And of course, I thought I will do anything else. I would love to be inside of the cave. I am scientist. I was always scientist. It's really hard to see them on the Zoom and seeing all the things which I would love to do, because I would like to collect samples. I would like to see actually what they are picking for me, because there is Anna and Ideal who are sampling samples, picking up them from the cave. I will see them just tomorrow after the mission will finish. But I believe that I can be part of the crew 01, 02, that I will be actually the one who will be inside of the cave, because the excitement is inside of the cave.
In this analog mission, there were a lot of firsts. What is the most important first of this mission for you?
So I'm definitely first Slovak, being part of the Portuguese Crew Zero mission.
Okay.
It is the first one. I am the first mission control in this mission. And I am the first person who
Slovakia has an astronaut already.
I'm saying in the first Portuguese Crew Zero mission.
Okay.
Isn't it
great? Fair point. Yeah.
And I'm also the crew member who will celebrate, the first person who will celebrate birthday, first time in my life without family. But this is my first, because it is during the mission, yeah. It is not important, but this is my first because I think about it often.
I read a bit your bio, and you have a PhD in inorganic materials. You are a geochemical and nuclear chemical expert focused on astrogeological science. Wow. And in layman's terms, that means, what is it?
It sounds, when you were
what
saying,
can you, what others can't?
I was not even thinking if you are speaking about me. It's like this. I finished master in nuclear chemistry and radioecology. So I have master in nuclear chemistry. And then I changed my field and I finished PhD in inorganic chemistry and materials with the focus on clay minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this knowledge of clay minerals shifted me to the possibility to work at NASA, because Curiosity rover team was in 2016 searching for scientists who has knowledge about clay minerals, because clay minerals on Earth are materials which are related to water and life. We know that where are clay minerals, there is water. And we know that clay minerals are on Mars. If there are some organic molecules present on Mars or some biosignatures, we believe that they are actually present in clay minerals. This is what the name astrogeological person means. Because also part of my work when I'm in the laboratory is to prepare analogs for Mars. So it means that I am preparing clay minerals, which are intercalated, for example, with different amino acids. Because amino acids are biosignatures, they are signs of life. So I prepare samples in the lab and then I will send them to my NASA colleagues. And they are comparing the data from Mars, which Curiosity rover acquires, with the laboratory instruments. It is a really complicated thing because the data from Mars are not really, they are not simply easy. They are acquired by instruments on Mars. And we have different instruments on Earth, although we have twins of instruments on Earth compared to those Mars. But again, this is a different planet. Now we have different instruments which have a high resolution, how efficiency and so on. And there are many things on Mars which are influencing the data. There are perchlorates which oxidize all the organic molecules. So we need to prepare analog samples here on Earth, run experiments, and we compare this data to the Martian ones, because really we see many things which we do not understand. It is much more easy to go if the astronauts were on Mars and analyzing samples there, and they have instruments there, and everything, all the technology we have here on Earth. So now it is difficult for us, but also that's why we need this analog or places or samples for us to understand planets, moons, universe. We need to understand our Earth. Because, for example, Mars was a long time ago very similar to planet Earth. We know that Mars had water. Mars had atmosphere. So if we study
you
planet
say that
Earth,
as that would be common knowledge.
But
I thought everyone is fighting to prove that.
We know that Mars had water.
Okay.
Because it had clay minerals. Clay minerals form only in the water.
Okay.
We have different minerals which contain in the structure water. So geologists could say much more about this. There are frozen lakes under the surface of Mars. We have this information from the orbits surrounding Mars. So that water is on Mars. This is like, yeah, we know it. Mm-hmm. And also analyzing Earth and Mars, we know that Mars millions and million years ago had exactly the same conditions as Earth when life arose on Earth. So that's why Mars is so exciting.
You talked about your story with the analog mission here on the island, but what motivates you in general in life?
I know that my background is absolutely nothing related to planets, moons, or solar system, but I'm curious
Pretty
person.
Pretty nerdy, isn't it?
I'm curious person, and I always liked science fiction movies where, you know, there is spaceship going to some planet and they are going to see if there is life. I really love to see Star Trek movies, series when I was a teenager. This was my inspiration because it's just amazing idea that humans working together with aliens, together working different nations together, it's just amazing, I think. And I have my tattoo here on my Earth in Klingon. So I am really big fan of Star Trek. So everything started when I was really young. But yeah, then I was watching documentaries, I was reading books. I was always obsessed by Mars for some reason, but I never studied planetary sciences because in my time there was not this topic at the university, and it was just like a crazy dream for me, for some Slovak girl, to study planets. You are not thinking that studying different planets can be a job, and in the end, it actually, my dream became truth. So this analog mission is just, when you say analog, this is lunar mission. This mission can be later be used as Mars analog mission, for example, because we have lava tubes, not only on Moon, but also on Mars, and lava tubes can be used, and this is the plan, will be used as natural habitats for the astronauts. They will be using these lava tubes on Moon as a habitat. They will protect them from the radiation or from meteorite impact, and this is the same for Moon and for Mars. So when we think again about humans being living somewhere besides Earth, it is in lava tubes because they are spectacular places. Again, natural. Yeah. This gives you a protection. That's why my colleagues inside of the cave are making different analysis, geophysics, geotechnical analysis. I will be analyzing mineralogy, bacteria. And also what I would like to point out, so lava tubes are really interesting habitats for microbes. And we know there is lava tubes, they look like there is just nothing. There is just water dropping from the top down, but it is a place full of microbial life. And Ideal, my colleague, she already found a lot of interesting things inside of the Natal cave. And many scientists also use cave places to study different microbes, again, as analogs for Mars, because there are lava tubes on Mars. They might be dry, but before they had to be liquid. Mm-hmm. If we see life here, we can maybe find similarities when the astronauts will go to Mars. We are searching for biosignatures, bacteria, archaea. These are the first microbiological organisms which were on Earth. With this knowledge or with this catalog which we will create here, even in this cave, again, we can compare our data with people who will go there. So this is just crazy. And we are also planning to make DNA analysis later in the laboratories to know exactly which microorganisms are present in the cave. And my goal is to make mineralogies because we are going to collect samples from different parts of the cave. More humid, less humid, darker, and so on. And so I will analyze mineralogy and chemistry. And Ideal will analyze microorganisms. I would like to know what is the correlation between these organisms with certain rock. Maybe they like more iron inside of sample. Maybe they like more silicon. But this is what we need to find out after we will be out of the cave.
That's a wonderful lead over to the question. So what will happen actually after the cave mission? You said all the science will happen. But how long will this process take then?
So my colleagues already made some search, geotechnics and geophysics. They have already data. After the mission, I'm going back to Aveiro. I'm taking samples. And mineralogy and chemistry can start immediately. So in several weeks, I can have the data.
One thing I learned from this mission, from the comms team and from the mission commander, is that outreach is a huge part of this mission. How do you communicate science? And when we talk about science, then your field of science is very specific. I said nerdy before, but very specific. So how to communicate to the next generation about that? What's the magic sauce that you have?
So this is exactly what I told you at the beginning. I am not expert in giving interviews or explaining how or what, but I am just trying to be natural, and I'm trying to explain to these little human beings that you don't need to be making astronaut course. You don't need to be a geophysicist. I am chemist. I am inorganic chemist, and I became part of the Curiosity rover mission because I like doing what I do, and it doesn't mean that your background is influencing the way you are going. Actually, I'm using my background, but I was studying, I was reading documents. Your knowledge can be, you can reach the knowledge from things around you and outreach. This generation, these little students or kids which we were speaking with, they still do not maybe know what they want to do, but we are trying to show them how the things which I could not do when I was young because I didn't have this opportunity, that they have open windows to the knowledge. If they really want, they can do many things in their lives. They can become future astronauts if they want, because again, they have a possibility. I can show them my knowledge or how my knowledge helped me to get to institutions like NASA and so on. Yeah, the interaction between us scientists with the young generation is very important, but I am not the best person. That's why we have professionals who can give this message. I'm trying to do my best.
But you're doing well.
This is my first interview like this. Maybe my students would say more. We need to show. And science can be also game.
Okay.
You need to have passion and patience. Exactly these two words. I don't know.
I can hear at least the passion.
Yeah, this
and
is
I'm not I'm sure like. About your patience.
I am not a patient person. Don't be not patient person. No. Patience is very important.
Will we see Slavka in 10, 15 years on her way to the moon?
I am old. I would love to. This is the dream which will never become the truth.
I mean, William Shatner just flew to space and he's really old.
If I could, I would do that. I would love that. Yeah, this comes even besides my crazy dreams. I could not imagine to fly to moon. To stand on the surface on moon, to see the different view of different planetary bodies. It's too much. No, it's over. But I would love
How far would you go? One way to Mars?
No.
Okay.
Because I have family. It's different. If you would ask me 20 years ago, I would say, yeah. Because Mars, maybe we are all Martians, like we say. But life came to Earth from Mars, so we are all Martians.
Slavka. Thank you very much for your time. It was a wonderful and lovely interview.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. My pleasure.
If you have further questions, reach out to us at radio@spacewatch.global. If you like these or other episodes of Space Cafe Radio, leave us a rating on your preferred podcast platform. It is the currency of today. And if you want to stay on the pulse of the space industry, please visit our website at www.spacewatch.global and subscribe to our newsletters. And of course, don't forget to become a Space Watcher. I'm Thorsten Kreening, publisher at spacewatch.global, your independent perspective on space.